how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yeah! Crushed it."
But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton. We're back. We got to talk a little defense now. We did the report card for the offense earlier. It's time to talk a little defense. What are you doing over there, Jerry Hamblin?
Hide my eyes. All right, here we go.
Okay. There we go. Rod B, you are the defensive guy. So I'm going to lead off with you and got to talk to you about this. Our friend Rod, the defensive line, we're going to go through the defensive line, linebackers, then we're going to do safeties, followed by corners. This episode brought to you by our friend Mark Saunders of Allstate Insurance. We'll talk to about him a little bit later. But let's start with the defensive front. Rod B., your take on the report card following spring practice of the defensive line.
If we're going to do the defensive line as a whole, I'm going to give that group right now a B as a whole. I really, and that's better than I thought I would have because I love the edges. I love the edges. I love how deep they are. You got a chance to see that even, start looking at later in the game, guys like Colton Bosick showed that he could be an impact player. So he's added to that rotation of guys. But we've talked about Ethan Berg, who made a play, didn't play much in that game because he's one of your frontline starters, but still made a play that led to the Alfred Collins pick six, as we like to call it. You got Baron Sorrell in that group. We didn't see much of Trey Moore, but we know he's going to be an impact player. I loved what I saw from Colin Simmons off the edge. He's a different speed off the edge. His first step, the BGO, the ball get off. Even Sark remarked, man, they're gonna actually be a force on the edge this year. And I totally believe that. And I think in the interior, I was actually pleasantly surprised by how the interior played. I thought they played well. Tia Savea is gonna be a player for us, guys. That's going to be a nice quality solution for Texas in the interior D-line. I thought he played well. I love what I saw from a young Alex January late in the game making some plays. So I'll give the D-line a B overall, but the edges, that's where I think they're excelling. That's where I think they're actually have, I think the strength of the defense. The interior D-line right now didn't look as bad as I thought. I thought it would look like a weakness. It did not look like that in the spring game.
But Rod, split them out then, if you want to. Defensive edge and edge and defensive tackle. How confident are you?
I'll go edge. If I'll break it up, I'll go edge. The edges, I'll go with a let's go with a B plus. B plus for the edges. I like what I saw. I want to see, obviously, in a real game, how many splash plays they make. And it's hard in the spring game because coach blows the play dead and everything. And with the D line, I'll go, an interior D line, I'll go B minus. Still both in the B range, but I think one's trending, definitely trending toward A, and that's the edges. They're trending and toward
A. We didn't even see Trey Moore. Jerry, what do you think of the D line in the spring? Not just the spring game, but overall with where they're situated right now post spring.
Yeah, so I have the exact same grades as Rod. I'm cheating off his paper over there. B plus for the edges and B minus for the interior, because I'm the same with Rod. I think the interior, and part of it maybe was Sevilla, who hadn't had a lot of positive press, not negative, but just hadn't had a lot of press in the spring during the practices. Mm-hmm. In the game, looked like a guy that had played a lot of football on a really good team. And when the lights came on and 40,000 people were there, which was pretty much an Arizona home game, he was ready to roll. So, I mean, and then, you know, so, and Alfred Collins didn't play much. Vernon Broughton went off to say I do. And so then, you know, some of the other guys got a chance to play. And I agree. I think Alex January is going to be a really good player. Now I add Bill Norton to that. And Texas will add another piece to that, the who we'll figure out. But that group as a whole is going to be better than anticipated a month ago. The edges, I agree with Rod, B plus, could end up being an A minus because we heard so many rave reviews about Trey Moore. Then he was limited in the spring game. But when Sark is talking about a guy like that as a transfer that could dang well be a captain, you know how much they love him when they're in the offices. So, and Colin Simmons, I mean, we watched the first round of the NFL draft last night, did a watch with us or Thursday night. If Colin Simmons does it right, he could be one of those guys. Look at Chop Robinson, man. Chop Robinson just went in the first round. Colin Simmons is very similar athletically to that. So, and look, then you get the baby Bosa, man. It was great to see Vosick back on the field. Hey. He had some unblocked plays, to be fair, but motor, physicality, understands how to maximize himself in a stance from stance to step two. That at Baron Sorrell steady. Ethan Burke will play on Sundays. Baron Sorrell may as well. I think that group's tremendous. Justice Finkley had a good spring and spring game, and he's going to kind of be the forgotten guy because he's not the biggest run stopper guy with all the experience like Sorrell, and he's not the twitchiest edge guy. So he's not going to be talked about a lot, but he had a solid spring and spring game as well. So B plus and B minus, total grade B.
I'm going to be very similar to you guys. I think that the total grade might be B, but I'm going to be a little bit wider in my judgment. In other words, I think edge is an A, and I think inside interior is a C. I mean, I think it's a bigger chasm than what y'all think it is right now.
Okay.
Because Texas didn't really try to run the ball on the interior, in my opinion, in the spring game. So we didn't really see what could be done if Texas tried to put two tight ends in there and load up. We just didn't. And I'm still not sure they have the guy that's going to be over the ball. I mean, I don't think it's Vernon Broughton. He wasn't even there. That's definitely not Alfred Collins. And I don't think Aaron Bryan is it. I don't think Tia Sevilla is it. Until they get that guy over the ball that's, you know, older. I'm just telling you, the interior's got some issues. The exterior, I think, is even better than what we saw because Trey Moore didn't play.
Yeah.
So I would be a little bit different than y'all. I see what y'all are saying. There's one clear leader there, but I think the edges right now, with the experience too, Baron Sorrell's got what, almost 2.5 years starting experience.
Yep.
Ethan Burke's got a full year. They've got upside to it at edge, and I'm not sure they necessarily have that as much defensive tackle at this point. So I'll go there. All right. Hey, Jerry, before we go into linebacker, yep, I want you to say thank you, if you don't mind, to one of our sponsors that has been with us for a while. And that is Mark Saunders of Allstate Insurance.
Look, I'm going to grade Mark Saunders first. 100, man. When it comes to protecting all your stuff, wouldn't it be great to have one place that protects it all? Here's some great news, Texas fans. Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is that guy and is the only insurance agent you'll need to help keep tabs on protection for all your stuff. Everything from your home, your car and boat to your motorcycle, RV, and even that ATV. So, yeah, Texas Tech fans, come on and give Mark Saunders a call, too. Call Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders' office today, 512-218-8571. Are you in good hands? You'll be in great hands with over 35 years of experience with Mark Saunders, Texas alum Mark Saunders. Give him a call. Again, that number is 512-218-8571. Do what many other On Texas Football YouTube subscribers have done. Call the guy that just got graded a 100, Mark Saunders.
Gary, are you going to give Anthony Hill and David Bendo 100? What are you going to give them?
So linebackers, man, that's a tough grade for me, right? Anthony Hill, don't think we saw a lot of him. I actually liked what I saw from Leonga Lafau watching that game back. Mm-hmm. I think Leonga Lafau is going to be just fine. The way that guy flows at linebacker is a very instinctive guy. No wasted movement. He can play in space. He flows to the ball well. He'll continue to get stronger. I give the group overall a solid B from an experience standpoint. I think he's going to be an All-American level player. I'm not saying first team, but I think Anthony Hill's going to end up being an All-American level player, whether he's third team or third team All-SEC can be All-American, quite frankly. I think Maurice Blackwell's going to be a better player than he was last year. I think Kendrick Blackshire has a place in between in the A gaps against Michigan and Alabama and Kentucky. So I think they have a guy that can play a role when they need him to. I think they have enough versatility and experience, and they have a star player at the position.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think, Rod?
That's what I love what Jerry said at the end there, because I do. I think they have versatility. I've talked about how it's very interesting how the different playing styles, body types, and skill sets they have at that linebacker position. And usually, you know, coaches are recruiting the same type of player at a position because they like that type of player. Linebacker is just kind of a gumbo of different types of players. It'd be interesting to see matchup-wise what they do. But getting back to the grades, I'll give that grade. It's hard in the spring game, but I'll give them overall because I don't think that they had a bad spring game. A couple of times in coverage, we saw the linebackers exposed by the running backs. Savion Red, we saw that touchdown by Jaden Blue. I believe that was on Mo Blackwell on that one. So I'm going to go B minus. I'll go B minus with that group because they got a superstar, like you said, Anthony Hill. But David Benda, I think, is going to help stabilize that group. But I want to see who else steps up. I love Leonga Lafau. I'm a big Mo Blackwell fan. I had a chance to interview him on the Third and Longhorns podcast. So a shout out to Nick Shuley and the crew, Derek Johnson, our man Alex Okafor, my man Fozzie Whitaker, and Derek Johnson. But it's I love his mindset, and he's a very unselfish player. He's talking about he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the defense, you know, achieve its goals. That's why he's moved around so much. I like the variety of skill sets, so I'll go B minus overall.
I'm more with Rod here, Jerry. Look, I love Anthony Hill. Anthony Hill still has to prove he's a middle linebacker.
Yeah.
I like David Benda as a leader of the team.
Mm-hmm.
David Benda has to prove he's a starting linebacker.
Yeah.
And there's a reason Mo Blackwell, as good as he, as talented and as good a person as he is, that he hasn't started to date. He's more of that big nickel to where Rod talks about that. And so my take on it is you have too much prove it still. And I don't know that they proved it to me in the spring game. They certainly didn't in pass coverage. And did they really rush the passer at all? Not really. Maybe they do that more. That's something that we think they worked on more this spring. But I would say B minus, and with the idea that they can perhaps go a little bit better or get better.
Yeah.
Because if Benda does prove that he's a starter, if Anthony Hill is ready, if Leonga Lafau continues to come on, if Maurice Blackwell actually fills that role. To me right now, the problem is I'm still not seeing it completely. Yeah. I understand what they're trying to do. I don't think the picture has been painted entirely, I guess is what I'm trying to get at there. All right, let's move on. DBs.
Y'all want to go safeties first? Y'all want to go corners? Mm-hmm. You know, Terrence Brooks leaving is puts you in a pickle. Also, do we want to put the star position within the cornerback room?
We'll build the corners.
In the corner, Rod? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll defer to you on this one. You have a little take on this that I think I'm going to – you know what? I'm going to open it up. I'm going to let you say the defensive back room, both the corner/star and the safety all in one. I'll let you go for it first.
Oh, man. All right, all in one, I'll go first, especially based on what I saw from the spring game, the departure of Terrence Brooks. And I'm still dealing with some trauma from last season about how dysfunctional this pass defense was.
Watching the NFL draft didn't help.
It did not help at all. It did exactly. man, it's hard for me not to go, and I'm a little biased with this group too, hard for me not to go with a D. Overall.
Wow. Woo! That's harsh.
It is harsh, but what am I supposed – guys, they gave – you see how many deep balls they gave up? After giving up – in the Washington game, what did they give? 6 of 8? They allowed 6 of 8 deep balls to be completed, 20-plus yards downfield. You'd have thought that would have been one of the main things they worked on during the season. Like, all right, you know what? We can't give up. As a defensive back – that is like the one unforgivable, like a mistake that you can make. Giving up the easy touchdown, the easy explosive play, easy yards. And Texas did it a lot in the Sugar Bowl, and they did it a lot in the spring game. So that alone is going to drive your grade down to a C. And then I'm looking at veterans who are making mistakes like, you know, keying the wrong receiver in cover 3 like Terrence Brooks did. Keying the number one receiver, eyes fixated, locked on him instead of keying the number 2. I mean, that's a high school mistake. No joke, it really is. Like guys at Lake Travis and Westlake, they're more assignment sound than that. You got some of the young bucks, and it's, you know, they're young, but taking bad angles to the football. That got him in trouble a couple of times. Still, Texas can't figure out how to defend a switch release. Had trouble with that last season with closely clustered groups of receivers. We saw that come back to haunt them. Really, a lot, all the things that haunted them last year, inside breaking routes, there are a ton of those. Inside breaking routes, so they don't defend well with leverage. So I like the group. I like the players they have. But I'll admit the sum of its parts right now is not adding up in a defensive backfield. I think the safeties are better off. It feels like the safeties are better off than the corners now because of the departure of Terrence Brooks. I love Jadae Barron, and I love Malik Muhammad, but I'm really worried about that cornerback spot opposite Malik Muhammad over there. I like the depth at safety. You got it in Makuba. Derek Williams, love him. I think he's your best covered safety. Taft Daddy is pretty assignment sound. Did take a bad angle in that spring game on that Jaden Blue touchdown. So he's a part of it, too. He's got to shore up stuff like that. But overall, guys, it's just they've gotten worse every year Sark's been here. How is that possible? That's why this is a big year for them. If they don't get it done this year, I think ultimately it will be an indictment on everybody involved in that position room, including the coaches themselves.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and I know you're high on overall on both Muhammad and Barron. High, relatively speaking, on Derek Williams, even though he's just a sophomore.
Yep.
And then you have Andrew Makuba, who I thought played pretty good. Were there bright spots? In your opinion, in that spring game and during the spring, like talk a little bit about those, because you say a D, and I think that's what you're giving him today, but they have some upside there with some of the personnel.
No, they do. They have tons of upside. I mean, I love Makuba and he played well. I think Jelani McDonald looks like he's going to be a guy that can add depth. Jalen Gilbo, I keep hearing a lot of good things. They need a young guy to step up. They need to get reinforcements via the transfer portal, but also they need one of these young guys to step up and give them some starting caliber reps, somebody to earn the coach's trust. I'm hearing that could be Jalen Gilbo. If that's the case, it offers them more solutions there. So this is obviously not a final grade for them. They got a whole offseason to get better, in training camp to get better. But ultimately, based on what I saw last season, they were one of the worst pass defenses in the country last season. And what I saw in the spring game did not give me any reasons to be optimistic. And not many. Not many guys. They're going to be better. They're going to get better. But if you ask me to give them a grade on what I saw and what I've been seeing and what's in these notebooks I got here, it's a D.
Well, then that's the question, though. This is, and Jerry, I want you to ask Rod the same thing here. I want your opinion as well. So what did you give the secondary all of last year when they won 12 games?
Oh, yeah, they still
think they're going to be better. And right now you're giving them a D.
They were bad, but you had other aspects of the defense that were elite, so was able to carry that secondary. But when you faced a sophisticated passing game and a good quarterback, what happened? You were exposed. So I'm with you. I think last year I would have given them a D too. I mean, I don't think last year they were any better. The point is I haven't seen any progress, and I haven't seen much, small sample size. But did you see a different secondary than the one you saw last year from the one you saw in spring?
I'm hoping that Texas is just good at quarterback.
Exactly. I hear you. I'm sorry to be so harsh, and I don't mean to be doomed. I don't mean to be, you know, Debbie Downer and buzzkill. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm just talking about the reality of it. I can give you the numbers, but they would just depress you. Yeah. You don't want them numbers.
I appreciate you being real. I mean,
Jerry, what are your thoughts, Jerry?
Yeah, so the issue I have is the younger players, I think, are better than the older players. And that's an issue for me. And now, Jahdae Barron didn't do much in the spring, right? Didn't play in the spring game. But when you look at it, Manny Muhammad's your best defensive back, period. And he's corner. Derek Williams will end up being your best safety, sophomore. Your best players and your highest upside players are your young. I mean, the two freshmen, I thought Xavier Filsomi had freshman moments, but he wants that best ever 21. He keeps looking behind Rod's head, but he's a couple years away from being that guy, but he's got a lot of talent. I thought Jordan Johnson-Rebell actually looked pretty good on second watch in the spring game, but he's a freshman.
Yeah.
That's kind of my problem is I think the guys I really like are the youngest guys at the position, and that's an issue when you're sitting there ranked 3 or 4 in the country preseason. Rod's better. He's much better at breaking it down as far as the X's and O's than I ever will be. But from a talent perspective, I think some of these young guys are really going to have to come on for Texas to elevate a grade from Rod's D to maybe even get to that B- range. I mean, Derek Williams is going to need to look like a future all SEC player. Manny Muhammad needs to look like a 3-and-out player next year and be a guy that, okay, he can take a number one receiver even if we have to run him all over the field. Yep. So it puts a little more pressure on your young guys to be tremendous players next year.
Well, what's your final grade?
I'm gonna go C minus from the spring.
God,
dear. Now I will say this: I do think they'll get somebody in the portal at corner.
And that does help. You're right. That would change things.
I thought, Bobby, the thing that scares you, so Manny Muhammad missed some time with a hamstring. What if he misses 3 games with a hamstring next
year?
We better hope Ramadan doesn't come during the season next year.
You're right.
But I want to say this. A D and a C minus is not what I expected, but you know, there's a reason Terrence Brooks was starting yet still busting coverage. And so, you know, I hear y'all. I'm a little bit higher on the safety room.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe than that. And I think that'll be able to bring along. You get one corner. You're really missing one corner right now.
Yeah.
In my estimation.
Yeah.
Put Jahdae Barron back on the field somehow. Add Jalen Gilbo. You know, Manny Muhammad is there. The point that Rod was making is, and you called it a gumbo, and I think that's a great way to describe it because, you know, some gumbos don't taste good with one another. You're trying to find out, you know, if chicken and sausage goes together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, you know, you don't want to put fish in sausage. That doesn't taste very good. You know, you want the right group together.
Yep.
And without Jahdae Barron out there, I'm not sure we could see that. On the spring game. That being said, there were still those blown coverages. And, You know, you thought that maybe Gavin Holmes was getting ready to take a step up. Now, yes, he got a face mask, but 9 times out of 10, that doesn't get called in a football game. That, you know, people are wanting to say that's a face mask. And defense doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
No, they don't. Nope.
And so I look at that, and I do think he was more physical. So I don't know. There were things about Gavin Holmes that were actually positives in that, and I am kind of clinging on to that a little bit as the main backup at corner, because I don't think Wardell Mack or Kobe Black are ready to be the true backup corner, no. And I don't think Warren Roberson is either. And so right now you're starting to – you're really looking at Manny Muhammad and Gavin Holmes, unless, to Jerry's point, you go out and actually find someone that can be a starter. I get the D and I get the C-minus. I'm going to go C at this point. And, yeah. And the reason I would say that is I like the pieces of the puzzle. I don't know that we saw the gumbo.
Yeah.
Without Jahdae Barron in there on Saturday. And then Arch Manning and Trey Owens, frankly, were dialing it up too.
Dialing it up. Cole Lord too. Cole Lord. Don't forget about that.
Yeah. I mean, but that's my point though. That's what even scares me. That's what makes me think it may be a D minus. I like Cole Lord and everything, but him dialing it up ain't a good look.
Exactly.
Wow. Talking about the in-breaking routes right over the middle. I mean,
yeah.
All right. That's going to do it. I thank y'all for being with us here on this today. Talking a little Longhorn football, going through the defensive grades. Anything y'all want to finish with before we close out?
Yeah. Since we're on defense, special teams incomplete. Let's see what happens at punter. Kicker, I think, is an A minus for Texas. I think snapper Lance St. Louis is an A. I think Texas, they got to replace those gunners in special teams. So and punter. So we got a little bit of an unknown there. I think we're solid at kickoff. Very solid. One of the top kickers in the country. I think we got a really good snapping game. Texas punter is going to need to come through, even though Sark doesn't want to have to call on it much. We'll see what happens at punter. So special teams incomplete for me.
Rod, you have anything? Any closing thoughts?
No, I got a lot of faith in this coaching staff that
they
fix problems. I will say that. And they've done that, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Look at where they were initially when Sark got here in 2021. The defense we saw last year, one of the best red zone, one of the best rush defenses in the country. Situationally, they've been able to improve their situational awareness, football IQ. I have faith that the secondary will get better, but there's no doubt this is a huge season. This season will truly be a referendum on that entire room, the position room. And I'm a member of DBU, so I'm rooting for them. You know that.
All right, that's Rod Babers, Jerry Hamilton. Thanks again to our sponsor, Mark Saunders of Allstate. Give him a shout. He's there in the Austin area at 512-218-8571. You're in good hands with Allstate. Mark Saunders, 35-plus years in the business. Texas alum, a great guy, 512-218-8571. All right, for Rod Babers and Jerry Hamilton, that's going to do it. I'm Bobby Burton. You guys have an enjoyable weekend, and hook 'em.
Hook 'em.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's Miro.com/brainstorm now.